Hi, I am Sarah Stone, Executive Director for Theology on Tap.
Sarah Stone, welcome to the Stone Chapel Podcast. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
You have been here to the library a number of times.
Yeah, I love it. It feels very homey and in a good way. Like you feel sort of warm in your soul when you're here.
Yeah.
I love it.
For those who don't know Sarah Stone, who is she?
She's amazing. See, I'm a single mom. I have a Presbyterian pastor dad, so I'm a PK, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. And grew up in a family of half believers, half atheists. And I know, kind of crazy. And I actually did my master's at a seminary, but to go into counseling. So I was going to be a therapist. And so I got to take all the fun seminary classes, but not the terribly difficult Hebrew and Greek. So I got to do theology. And
well, if you want to do Hebrew and Greek, you can do them here.
I laid that right up for you.
You did. Yeah, it was great. It was softball. So you can do it right here. So
I will keep that in mind. But yeah, so I got a real taste for and a love for theology when I was there. Was a therapist for a little bit and then moved down to Houston. And then life took a series of turns I wasn't expecting, but they've landed me in a job I really love now. So
So what kind of therapy did you do?
Mostly marriage and family. I'm giggling because, you know, I am divorced. And so it's sort of a irony. But yeah, I loved marriage and family, thinking about how men and women approach things differently and how systems work. I still love that.
So do you find that particular people are more likely to talk? In other words, guys are more likely to talk than women, or women more than guys? How does it typically go?
Well, I have more women in my circles just because I teach a women's Bible study and I do some women's events. But I have found, I don't know if it's my personality or just the kind of age we're living in, but people open up quickly with me. So I,
rather than putting up a wall and say, you've got to have four or five sessions to break through this wall.
Yeah.
It's
maybe because it's not therapy, or maybe because there's an authenticity they can sense. I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone say, you know, I don't tell people this, or I didn't plan on telling you this, or something like that. Then we're off to the races.
It's pretty reassuring, though, isn't it? People today are needing, I think, more and more to talk through and about their lives.
Yeah.
And so that's a great ministry just in of itself. So you started this thing, or next, let me take that back.
Yeah.
You've not started it. You've been doing this now for a while, called Theology on Tap.
Yep.
But you're now gone all in to working on that. And you got a board, and you're doing.
We're so official.
You're doing some great events. So for those who don't know, what is Theology on Tap?
Well, our neat tagline is inviting believers and the spiritually curious to explore big questions of life and faith. But Theology on Tap started in 2015. I've been doing really young adult or singles ministry for about 12 years at a local church. And I was doing something called Theology on Tap. Lots of people use that phrase. That's not unique to
us. First time I heard it was Chicago a number of years ago.
And the Catholics love it. There's a Catholic Theology on Tap. We get at least one Catholic at all of our events. They think they're going,
Then
I'm like, stay, we're cool too, you know? So I was doing something, it was kind of a round table discussion, and I got a call from a Methodist pastor, Andy Cunningham. He was at Chapelwood at the time. And he said, you're doing something called Theology on Tap. What's that about? What's that like? Who comes? And we were both lamenting the fact that some of these bigger mega churches in Houston can throw a barn dance and get 300 people without even trying. And we're over here celebrating double digits, you know? Mm. So we thought if we put our groups together and maybe invited a couple other young adult groups, we could get kind of a critical mass and have some real fun together. People could network and enjoy interesting conversation, maybe even find love, which people have. So we started in 2015 with, I think, six churches, each bringing their young adult groups together and talking about some interesting topic over craft beer. And, you know, we've learned through the years what works and what doesn't. And so I think our conversations are getting better and better. But I also have noticed a shift in our audience. It's not just churchy people anymore. Mm-hmm. We have a pretty wide swath of people that are skeptical or maybe agnostic or maybe would call themselves Christians, but they've been really wounded by the church or feel like they can't trust the church, but they can come have a beer with us. It's more accessible.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat. We have a, and of course we still have our theology nerds that like to come and text in funny things. The secret sauce of Theology on Tap is that our leadership team is made up of pastors or professors from lots of different denominations. So when we do our big Q&A in the second half, they get to disagree and spar about things where we disagree.
Hopefully in a gracious, friendly way.
It's charitable disagreement. That's our high value.
Charitable disagreement. Yeah. I like it.
It's like the lost civil discourse that we are all wanting.
We don't have that anymore.
Not much of it.
Yeah.
But it's the greatest way to hear the best argument on either side of whatever the thing is. Say we're talking about baptism or end times or how does salvation work, or you pick it. You're going to hear the best sort of, say it's salvation, the best Wesleyan and the best Calvinist ideas. And then you get to kind of pick for yourself. I think I really kind of align with that. But we all agree that we want you to know and follow Jesus. So
at the end of the day,
yeah.
Somebody, when I was telling them about Theology on Tap, they said, is it Lutheran?
A little bit.
Do you get that?
No, I mean we have a Lutheran.
Luther was famous for having beers and talking theology, right? So it's not modeled on Luther necessarily.
No, but we're friendly to the Lutherans.
Okay.
So we started a podcast in 2020 where we were putting out content on a local radio station and through our podcast platforms. And my co-producer is Evan McClanahan. He's a Lutheran pastor in Midtown. So he's on our leadership team. So we have a sliver of Lutheran, that voice in the leadership team. But we also have Methodist and Baptist, Episcopalian and Presbyterian. And I'm sure I forgot somebody, but all of them. We have all the things.
Yeah.
At least Protestants.
There was for a number of years, I would appear twice a year, probably at Theology on the Vine.
Ah, that's more sophisticated.
Which was done, was done by a Catholic church on the west side of town.
See, Catholics, man.
So I would get invited. They would give everybody a glass of wine, and they would give everybody some hors d'oeuvres, that kind of thing. And we would take a topic of theology. We would discuss it. And I had a lot of fun doing that. I mean, it was really interesting. I had Diet Coke so that
everyone can settle down when you're listening to this.
Yes, right. You make sure you know. But it was some really good conversation. And I think something happens when you sit down over a meal sometimes.
We have a meal as well.
Or over in some cases, drinks or just coffee to talk about these things in a way that's fresh, open, disarming maybe at some level.
I think even, it's funny, not everybody drinks, but just the fact that we offer beer, I think, makes us feel accessible. Okay. Right? It makes there's a sort of convivial feeling about like these are people that want to have a genuine conversation. And so
you're not saying you have to have a beer necessarily.
Right. I actually don't drink at the events. Got to stay sharp as the MC.
So you are the MC of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One time I was the guest speaker. We did the topic was violence in the Old Testament. That's a big barrier for a lot of people, right?
It is.
Could God be good if he allowed so much, or maybe even dictated so much seeming violence? So I was the guest speaker for that. But otherwise, I'm the MC, which is really fun because I don't have to get blamed for any of the answers people don't like. And I get to lob the questions from the audience up to the panel and stop them when they talk too long.
So these are audience questions that come in. So these are not questions that you prearrange ahead of time and say, be ready to answer these questions.
No, people text in their questions. And especially if I get a series of questions that are all kind of the same, I make sure to ask those. And then everybody on the panel that wants to kind of chime in can. And when they get pastory and talk too long, I make them stop and we move on. So, and then if we really get some good conversation going, we'll carry that on into the podcast.
Okay.
We did one on hell. What is hell like? What are the different views? What really happens? What do we know? Who goes there? I mean, all that stuff. And Juan Carlos Martinez and Chris Date were taking kind of opposing positions, and they started to kind of get into it. What about this verse? Well, what about that verse? People loved it. And so we had them on a podcast to just keep the conversation going, and it was a lot of fun.
So the best topic so far, when you think about the last year of doing this, what have been the thing that has just really gripped people?
Topics? I know this is going to sound very strange, but I think one of the best ones we've done in the last year plus was about Satanism.
Satanism. Okay.
We had a Satanist from the Satanic Temple come in. And so in the first half of our events, we do some kind of like a TED talk or presentation. Sometimes it's one person, sometimes it's a debate. So our lovely Satanist came in, and we had met with her ahead of time and talked about this and kind of laid out, what do we actually believe? What are the tenets? Which, of course, most Satanists don't actually believe in Satan. They're not theistic. They just like the archetype of Satan because he's, you know, mischievous and rebellious. And so then
and
one
they've
of,
got that little spirit within them too, right?
Yeah. Oh, they love to poke at things. And right. But and then one of our folks got up and basically said, you know, kudos to our Satanist friend for calling this what it is. Many of us live this way, but we don't call it that. And so he made the distinction between Satanism with a capital S and Satanism with a lowercase s. If you live for yourself and you're the final arbiter of all truth in this world, it's kind of the same. It made for some great conversation. So that was a good one. The one we did on, people are going to think we only talk about like really, you know, crazy things, but the one we did on hell was also pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
People have questions about that.
That's a big question. That's a huge question that people have. Does hell exist? If it does, who goes there?
Right.
You know, and why do they go there? And, and what about the people in Africa that never get a chance to hear?
Yeah.
All kinds of interesting questions and important questions that are sometimes barrier questions come up and those kind of things. Now, I heard somebody say recently that the fastest growing religion is no religion at all.
Yep, the nuns.
The nuns.
With an O.
Are you seeing that in your work?
Oh, yeah. So one of the things I was doing in my job alongside Theology on Tap, and now I'm calling it an on-ramp, so it's under the umbrella of Theology on Tap, is I run a group called Conversations, which is for all non-Christians. So mostly atheist, agnostic. We have a couple Hindu. We actually have a couple Satanists. They follow me, I guess. But yeah, I see that as a super quickly growing group. It's people that have been, some of them have been wounded by the church, or they know someone that was. Some of them just distrust the church. And they come to Theology on Tap.
Is it the organized religion idea? Is that the bugbear here?
Part of it.
Or is it, I just don't believe in that God exists at all?
I think 10 or so years ago, maybe it was that I don't know if God exists. I think now the question is shifting to maybe he exists, I don't know, but he's not a good guy. Like the idea that God could be good given all of the, you know, tragedy that we see, all the suffering in our own lives, all the anxiety, all of those things. I think that's the bigger question for most people.
Yeah, I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about that one time. I don't know really where he stands on all this, but he was talking about, well, if God is all powerful, he can't be all good, because take a look at the tsunami that hit, was it 20 years ago now in Indonesia? 250,000 people died in that. And then he talked about a similar event that hit Lisbon, Portugal many, many years ago. And it hit during church, and people were wiped out in church. I mean, they were gathered together in church buildings. And so he said, well, if God exists, then not really sure God is really good.
Right, yeah. Or
else he can't do anything about it.
Right, he's either not good or not powerful.
Right,
yeah.
those are just some of the characterizations at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I've asked those same questions myself. I think you know that I've gone through some tragedy in my own life. We lost my brother a couple of years ago, and there's just been a lot of heartache and hard things. So that is one of those areas where I can say I don't have all the answers about tsunamis, but I do know that in my experience, my faith has been the one thing that's kept a tiny thread, if sometimes very tiny, of peace throughout that kind of pain. So all I can do is kind of tell my own story. But that's the beauty of Theology on Tap, is that you get to hear the stories of lots of different people, right?
And sometimes those stories of people who've been injured are the most touching. If they've lived perfect, immaculate lives, privileged lives, and they've never had a significant loss, like you know about my son dying a few years back. I mean, when you don't have those kind of events, you can sort of live in a ethereal place.
Yeah.
But when you do go through that, something changes.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly how I would express it today. I have faith, obviously, still have faith, but I mean, I do question these things. And I think that's okay. The Psalms, Ecclesiastes,
Lamentations,
all these books,
Jeremiah,
all these books are about that.
Yeah.
In a sense. And I think that gives us permission to explore those really heart-rending questions.
I think doubt is like an essential part of our faith story, for sure. Yeah.
So if you don't doubt, you don't have faith?
I think you can have faith without doubt, but I think if you live long enough in this world, you're probably going to experience doubt. And some people will shut it away and say, no, 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 no. You kind of like, la, 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 put their head in the sand.
Right.
Some of the disciples, we see that, right? Mm-hmm. Peter and Thomas. And
all of them, right? Yeah, exactly. So if people are interested and knowing more about theology on tap. How do they do that?
The easiest way would be to go to our website, which is HoustonTOT.com. We also have the podcast, which you can find through HoustonTOT.com or on any podcast platform. It's called Theology on Air. You can listen to that. And
Now, is that a video podcast or is that audio video?
It's what both. Okay. I mean, we put them out on YouTube. But yeah, I mean, you can listen on all podcast platforms.
Okay. So that's the best place to go. And, you know, there may be somebody out there that would say, I'd really like to support this.
I would love if someone out there said that.
Would you love that? I mean, your board would like that, wouldn't they?
Yes. The executive director would like that, too. So we just launched as a nonprofit just a couple months ago, and we're trying to raise enough money to really grow, support my role. And so HoustonTOT.com/give. Is where to go to find out about that.
Okay.
And we would love that. I was just telling you before we started that we're coming up with these donation incentive, like donor levels.
Yeah.
And they all have different theologians. It's very cute. So that'll be up on the website soon. So be a Calvin or I don't know if we decide on Aquinas or we're still figuring it out. But
so you're picking the big theologians.
Not the
minor theologians.
Oh, no. Okay. I think we're going to make Paul like the top tier. If you give lots of money, you're like Paul, a cheerful giver, you know.
Oh.
He's like the OG theologian. So,
all right, for those who don't know what OG stands for, what is that?
Oh, it's original gangster, which
is
funny.
Original gangster. Okay.
That's,
wow.
Is this the first time you're hearing this?
No, I know.
Oh,
I know
okay.
all about it, but I know our audience maybe doesn't know about it. I sometimes ask questions.
Yes, that's good.
Curiously,
you should do that.
So that people who are listening might not. Oh,
what's funny is that during Theology on Tap, I'm doing that, but they're about words that normal non-theology nerds don't know. Like when Paul Sloan keeps saying telos, I'm like, what does that mean?
I do that same
And you're
thing,
asking about this hood question. That's
right.
So funny.
Yeah. OG. Paul is the OG. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this is a great work, and
I just commend
you for it. I think it's important, an important way of reaching a lot of people who are unreachable through traditional means of evangelism or apologetics or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just sometimes sitting and listening to their stories and loving on people.
Yeah.
A lot of people are won back to the faith having gone out, I think, not by rational argument, but just by a really dear friend who took time to love them and care for them and not judge them.
Yeah.
You know, as they're going through this difficult time of life.
Yeah.
So thank you for what you're doing.
Oh, that's great. I will say one more thing. If anyone comes to Theology on Tap, we've just started doing some follow-up conversations where it's a little bit more intimate, fewer people, where you can ask any question you have about this kind of stuff. So come to the big events. If you like it, come to one of the follow-ups, and we can talk about some of the stuff that we've been chatting about here today.
Mm-hmm. And you'll answer all their questions, right?
All.
All
well,
questions.
I will kick it over to my Methodist and Lutheran and Baptist, you know, brothers and sisters, do the hard work.
And let them do the hard work of it all.
Yeah.
Great. Sarah, thanks for being with us today
on
the Stone Chapel Podcast.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Hold the phone for a nugget of wisdom from our guest coming up in just a moment. Thanks to Kathy Capes for her expertise in bringing this podcast to you. Thanks to Phil Keggy for our music. If you enjoy the Stone Chapel Podcast, why not stop what you're doing right now and subscribe? Share it with your friends on social media, especially those interested in theology. Come on, you know you want to. Once you do that, it keeps these winsome words coming your way and helps rank us higher on every search engine. If you have questions, comments, or you just want to be in touch, email us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. That's podcast@lanierlibrary.org. Lanier is spelled L-A-N-I-E-R. Now, until next time, thanks for listening.
You know, I think if we want to reach people who are walking away from faith or distrust the church, we've got to go to those third spaces where they are. That's what Jesus did, and I think it's what he wants us to do.